Welcome, everybody, to the Sun on the Strip podcast. I'm Brock Radke, entertainment writer for the Las Vegas Sun. We all know that Vegas Entertainment hit the pause button in March when the Strip shut down. But one of my favorite shows took an especially hard hit because it was just building some really terrific momentum in a new venue. It's the Bronx Wanderers, East Coast family band, just killing it. They've been in Vegas for a few years now. They started off at Bally's, they moved to the Link, and in February, they opened at Harrah's Showroom, which turned out to be the best fit yet for the Bronx Wanderers in Vegas. Unfortunately, they only got to play there for a few weeks, but they are ready to go whenever opportunity comes back around again. And today, the Sun on the Strip is a conversation with Vinny Adinolfi, son of the other Vinny Adinolfi, who leads this group, the Bronx Wanderers. Vinny is a pretty electrical musical force on stage, and he's a lot of fun to talk to, as you're going to find out. He's been very active in this downtime, recording music and launching the next season of his podcast, What the Cluck. He's going to talk about that. You should go check that out. And also this Friday, the Bronx Wanderers are going to release a pay-per-view concert. It's their first time doing this kind of thing. And this show was actually recorded at their last performance at Harrah's Showroom. So I can't wait to see that. I'm going to go check it out. You can find it on all their social media or at Vin's social media, which is just Vin A on Facebook and Instagram. Here, I'll let you hear it straight from Vin.
So it seems like you have been staying very busy during this entertainment shutdown. You're popping up and performing on all these charity shows and pushing a bunch of different content out there. How has that process been for you?
Basically doing anything I can to keep busy, keep moving, and keep my mind going. It's weird because we did 3 years at 7 days a week. So I was getting to the point where I was almost so burnt out where I wanted everything to stop. And then little did I know, my prayers got answered and everything stopped. But I thought, we all thought it'd only be for 2 weeks. You know, all the Caesars brass came in and said, look, you know, we're sorry you guys are going to be off for 2 weeks. You know, so I left the majority of my equipment at Harrah's. And then here we are 2 months later. My keyboard's still there. My Starbox guitar is still there. But, you know, we're all in unprecedented times. I'm just doing anything I can to keep busy. And it's fun because in Bronx Wanderers, I played the same songs every single night. And now with this quarantine thing, I'm able to do a bunch of different things, working on other albums, so working on my podcast again, so it's been good, along with drinking whenever I want, so that's really positive.
That's always positive if you ask me.
Yeah, you know, it's 5 o'clock at any point in the day now, so.
Yeah, let's talk about your podcast a little bit, because that's something that did you just start doing that last year?
Yeah, I started doing that last year, kind of like a goof thing. I guess if you asked me, hey, Vin, if you weren't doing music, what would be your dream job? I would have to say like being like a John Oliver or a Bill Maher, where I can just sit and, you know, talk with people about current events, you know, weird things that nobody else would talk about. And I had a lot of fun with it. And we gained a lot of traction. I think the last episode, we had a presidential candidate on. We had Marianne Williamson on, and that's how we ended the first season, which was kind of cool. And then we were going to take a break because I usually go on tour in the winter for like a month in Florida. And when I came back, I wanted to start it up again. But of course, the whole world went World War Z on us and couldn't do that. So I guess with all this downtime now, I figured, you know, what better time to bring it back than now? So I just got back from the space. We're going to be hosting it at the space, which is awesome. So the first episode I'm going to have actually Mark Chinook on. We're going to talk about the Monday's Dark Telethon that he just did. I'm going to have Enoch on from Zombie Burlesque. I'm going to have magician Michael Mayfield on. So it should be fun. I was going to do a whole, you know, everybody does it one-on-one from their houses and we don't get together. But since we just went into phase one in Nevada, they're saying you can have, you know, 10 people in a spot. Mark was gracious enough to say, hey, man, if you want to do the episodes here, you can do them here. So we're going to film that first episode on Friday. I'm really looking forward to it.
That's awesome. So tell me what this podcast is called and where we're going to be able to listen to it.
Oh, cool. Yeah, the podcast is called What the Cluck. I wanted to name it something else, but that name was taken. So I had to go with What the Cluck, but it's still cool. If you watch the opening title, it's all chicken themed. It's pretty funny. We do it twice a month. It's not live, so we kind of pick the best day where people in New York can watch it. Usually around like 6 o'clock, Las Vegas time, Pacific time. And, yeah, just follow me on Facebook or Instagram. We let everybody know through all that stuff. Just go to Vin A Music or Vin A on Facebook and you can check it out. You can also check out the whole past season. It's on YouTube.
So as far as the Bronx Wanderer show, you guys have very recently moved over from the Matt Franco room at the Link to the Harrah's showroom. How is it going at the new spot? When did that move first happen?
I think we started our first night at Harrah's on February 3rd. But again, we were on tour for the entire month of January, so we were away. Every time CES comes to Vegas, nobody goes to shows. So we kind of always go dark and go on tour during that time. And it was cool because while we were away, we were setting up that whole move to go to Harrah's. And I love Matt Franco and I love that room. The staff at the Link was amazing. The only, bad part about that room for us was we couldn't get a good time slot. Matt always sold out and killed it. He would do, 6, 7, 8 o'clock, which means we would kind of have to do 4 o'clock or 9 o'clock. And it's just, the schedule was too all over the place. So the cool thing that Caesar said to us, they go, unfortunately, if Heartbreak Hotel closes, we'll bring you guys into the main slot at Harrah's. And, we didn't hope for anybody to close. We never want that. And lo and behold, 30 days later, after them mentioning that to us, their show closes. And we moved over. We opened up on February 3rd. We were 8 o'clock every single night. We were killing it. Like, we were doing so good. We felt like we turned a corner. We're finally in the room we're meant to be in. We're in the right hotel, the right demographic. We were killing it. And then, lo and behold, COVID-19 happens. Numbers start dwindling. Bang, it shuts down. And, it's like my dad says, every time we get a break, it's 2 steps forward, 6 steps back. So, we'll see what happens when they open. I mean, they're talking about they're only going to open like 1 or 2 hotels at a time. They're going to keep them at 50% capacity. They're not going to bring shows back till, I think, July and August, which the one good thing for us is our show can be moved anywhere. It's not a thing where like we have, major production. We can just pick up our instruments and go. So say Caesars only opens, the Barge, we could go there. Our show's lucky that it's not like a hypnotist show. We're not touching people. It's not a booby show. We're not getting naked and touch people, which, thank God for people. If you saw me naked, that would never happen. so we're a music show, so we could potentially be one of the quickest shows to come back.
Right.
But again, God knows when that's going to happen. So we're looking into doing pay-per-view. I think we're releasing our first pay-per-view concert this coming Friday, which we're really excited about. When we were told that they were going to be closing the hotel on the last night, my girlfriend's in film. She got her film friends to come and do a 3-camera shoot of our night at Harrah's on March 14th. On March 15th, bam, we closed. So luckily, we had a killer 3-camera shoot, great sound, great lights, great everything, and it came out great. So we're going to release that on Friday. I think it's $30 to view it, and we're going to see how that goes.
That's really cool. I'm signing up for that because I didn't get to see it at Harrah's. I was making plans to go check it out when everything shut down.
Now you can do it from the safety of your computer room, clothing optional. we had a whole bunch of tour dates scheduled for June. They all got canceled. We were supposed to go to Canada. We were supposed to go to Pennsylvania, to New York. And all those fans are asking, so when are you going to come? we have no answer for them because we don't know what the deal is with flights, with venues, with, you know, because everything's right. different. Luckily mm-hmm. for us, Nevada was really smart. We closed everything early, you know, which is why yeah. we're kind of in phase one right now.
Right.
But God
right.
knows where New York and New Jersey are going to be. They got hit a lot worse than we got hit. You know, so at least this pay-per-view thing is a cool way for fans all over the country to enjoy the show in the convenience and safety of their own home for like a cheap price. You know, imagine having to go see a show with four people, $30 a ticket, it's $120. Now those four people in the same house can watch the same show for $30. I think it's a killer deal, and I hope people watch it because it's kind of like the Bronx Wanderers Relief Fund. We kind of need it. We're not making any money right now, so... I hope people do get it.
Yeah, I love the Vegas show. Seen it a few times at the link, and I've written about it a few times because to me it feels like the exact kind of music-focused show that today's Vegas audience wants to see right now. You know, you guys do different genres. There's lots of, like, feel-good favorite songs from different eras, and you guys just pound it out and leave it all on stage every night.
Yeah, I mean, our whole thing was, it's always better to paint with a broad paintbrush. I mean, if you're a Billy Joel tribute act and you only do Billy Joel, it's like people got to deal with 90 minutes of Billy Joel. Yeah, they'll like five songs, but are they going to like the other 13? I mean, it's tough when you're just one thing. The cool thing with Bronx Wanderers was, I mean, we have all different generations in the band. I'm 32. My brother's 29. My dad's 62. All right, you know, the guys at me are 35. So we all do different stuff for everybody. The whole goal of Bronx Wanderers was we wanted a grandma to be able to bring her daughter to be able to bring the granddaughter. So if three generations can enjoy one music show, we've done our job. And that's, you know, that was kind of the Bronx Wanderers mantra. And it's, you know, it's been really good to us. It's given me a career for 15 years. And I hope it continues to give me a career. But again, you know, we're in unprecedented times. You know, this has never happened in Las Vegas. I mean, like, they're telling me there's chains on the doors because they don't have locks on the doors. You know, which was baffling to me because I wouldn't even think about that. Like, wow, that's right. They never lock the doors. It's 24/7. So it's just, it's crazy.
How do you think the show has changed and evolved over the years since the Bronx Wanderers first came to Las Vegas?
Well, luckily, we were doing Bohemian Rhapsody before the movie came out. So that was kind of cool when that happened. The band always evolves in its set list. I mean, we never rest on our laurels. We always have to make it better and better and better. I mean, even when we moved the show to Harrah's, we added three new songs, you know? So the show will always change. It will never be the same. We're always going to make it better. We're always going to be screaming at each other as a family to make it better. And, the support that we get from everybody coming across the country. I mean, we have fans that they come up to us at the end of the show and go, this is our 132nd time watching your show. You know, and it's baffling stuff like that where you go, you can't do the same show because for that person to come back, it's got to be new. It's got to be fresh. It's got to be cool. And it's got to appeal to everyone. And that's why I think Bronx Wanderers is a thing that could go on forever if we keep following that game plan. You know, I feel bad for the shows that once they write the show, that's the show for 15 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't get how people go back to that show. It's even when I talk to people and I go, oh, man, how'd you like Larev? How'd you like, oh, how'd you like, you know, this Cirque show? They go, it was great. I go, that's great. Would you go back? They go, no. I went back twice. It was the same thing. And I get it. That's what the show is. You know, so the cool thing with Bronx Wanderers is you never know what it's going to be. It's not choreographed. Every single night, it's a different living, breathing show. And that's why I love Bronx Wanderers. That's why I continue to try to do both my personal career and that career because it always stays fresh. If it didn't stay fresh, I wouldn't be in it this long. And that's why I'm grateful for guys like you that write about the show and you come back and you get new people to come and, you know, round and round we go.
Mm-hmm. I love that you guys, you know, obviously Las Vegas has a long tradition of like tribute shows, whether it's, you know, just playing covers of hits or whether it's like a celebrity impersonation thing. Vegas has done all those things before. And you guys are playing a lot of great hits. You very clearly put so much into each cover, like seeing you guys do Bohemian Rhapsody. And you can just tell that you guys have, you know, planned this out, played every different possible way and figured out the way that you can, you know, do justice to that song with the band you have and the production that you have. And it's like that for every song, and it just shows through.
Yeah, it's you know, it's pretty much a glorified cover band. The only thing that makes us different is my dad got to work with all these people that we kind of do. You know, obviously besides Bruno Mars, we just throw that in, you know, for the young people that come. But I mean, all these other people he's had some affiliation with. So that's why all the stories that go around the songs themselves kind of tie it together where it's not just the cover band, it's a show. You know, we're a family. My brother's the drummer, my dad's the singer. My three best friends are the band. I mean, you're going to get crazy, hilarious stuff in between every song. And same thing. I mean, if we're going to do a song, I look at them and go, look, I'm not just going to go out there like a bar band and half-ass it. Sorry, am I allowed to say ass on your show? Well, sorry,
sure.
I didn't. You know, I don't want to lazily do anything. If we're going to do it, I want to be the best of doing it. So that's why when we did Scenes from an Italian Restaurant by Billy Joel, I mean, dude, we got to be the best damn band out there doing that song. And again, I always wanted to pick songs that nobody could pick. So that, like, the last Bronx Wanderers album was called Echoes of the Past. We literally picked every single epic song nobody could do. And again, this is before Bohemian Rhapsody came out. This is before all that. We put Bohemian Rhapsody on there, Scenes from an Italian Restaurant on there, Touch Me by the Doors. We had like an orchestra on that song with us. Don't You Forget About Me. I mean, we had like all these killer songs. And even now during this downtime, we're working on the next album. And it's going to be the same thing where if we're redoing and remaking a song, it better be as good, if not 10 times better than the original. And that's kind of where I love the Bronx Wanderers, and I will forever back and be in this band because my guys feel the same way. They look at me and go, how can we make this incredible? How can we do this? So I go, well, it's going to be, you know, 6 days of vocal practice. It'll be 4 days of recording this. It's going to be this, that, and this. And luckily, none of us have jobs right now, so we have nothing but time.
What's it been like for you to, because obviously, like you said, you're working on your own stuff too and doing other things besides the podcast. You got your own musical projects that you want to devote some time to. What's it been like to like divide up your time? And what, also, is it challenging to stay creative when we're all locked at home?
Yeah, well, it's definitely been a freeing thing at the beginning. I mean, when I kind of just stopped and didn't have the show, for the first time in 3 years, I kind of looked at my wall and said, now what? And I kind of said, you know what? I'm alone in my house. I can't see anybody. I can't go to anybody's house. So I'm going to have to make music by myself. I'm going to have to do all the drums myself. I'm going to have to do all the instrumentation by myself, which I can and I love doing. But again, when I had the Vegas show every night, I didn't have the time to do that. Now that the Vegas show isn't happening, I mean, if you go on any one of my Instagram or Facebook pages, I've been making an acoustic album called Vindemic, where it's me doing every instrument. You know, so I did a parody of of a Johnny Cash song, Folsom Prison Blues, which was the Johnny Cash song. I did a song called COVID Prison Blues, and I kind of rewrote all the words to fit the quarantine in a really funny way, and that got like 9,000 views in 2 weeks. You know, so everybody really liked that. And that kind of inspired me, okay, you know, keep going with this. So I've been doing like, you know, a song every week for that album. I've been working on my own solo album for about a year. Again, it's been going that long because when you're doing 7 nights a week with Bronx Wanderers, it's hard to do my own stuff. Now I'm focusing a lot on that. When my voice blows out and gets a little tired, boom, I focus on the podcast. And a weird thing about me, when my job was taken from me and I couldn't get unemployment, I got really scared. I thought, what the hell am I going to do if this career goes down? because my dad's in this career, my brother's in this career, I'm in this career. It's not like we can go to each other for help. Mm-hmm. So I've been taking 6-hour stock classes every day. Like, I've been learning about the stock market. I've been waking up at 6 o'clock in the morning, Monday through Friday, kind of picking up like a new little hobby. And it's been kind of cool and I love it. And I guess what you're saying, Vin, is it hard to break up your time between all these crazy things I'm doing? For me, no, because I'm a scatterbrain. Like, I'll wake up in 4 hours, I'll do stocks, and then I'll get bored, and then I'll go over to the keyboard and do a Vindemic acoustic song. And then when I'm bored of doing my own stuff, bang, I'll go to a Bronx Wanderers album. And then when I'm bored of that, bang, I'll go to my girlfriend and annoy her for 2 hours and play Pac-Man. And then bang, when I'm bored of that, I'm going to go make dinner and sit out. You know, it's I'm finding so many ways to keep myself busy without wanting to shoot everybody around me and myself. That's a good thing.
What else do you want to say to everybody out there who's looking forward to seeing you and the band on stage in Vegas very soon?
I mean, I just want to say, hang tough. We're all in this together. It's going to get better. We're going to bounce back. Look at all the states that have opened. Everybody's out. Everybody's been cooped up for 2 months. I hope the locals come out and support whichever casinos open when they open. And regardless of whether we get the Vegas show this year or not, Bronx Wanderers and myself are going to keep trucking forward. We're going to keep releasing content. And if you all keep supporting us, we're going to keep supporting you with music. And I look forward to what the future holds. I'm an optimistic guy. And hopefully when this ends, I won't be 320 pounds.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Sun on the Strip. You can find past episodes at Apple Podcasts or at lasvegassun.com/podcast. Have a great week.